God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson. Let's open the Bible together. In just a few moments, Dr. Don Wilson will be bringing today's message about an only way, a singular way, but I'll let him do that in a minute. He just wants me to remind you we're here for you and would love to speak with you, pray with you, connect with you keyboard to keyboard. Here's how we do that. Keyboard to Keyboard is online at tewonline.org. That's our website, T-E-W for The Encouraging Word, online.org. We'd love to connect with you and connect you with great resources. And also, we'd love to pray for you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Not just now during the broadcast, but anytime, day or night, we'd love to pray with and for you. And now, Dr. Don Wilson.
Father, we know that our life is in your hands, and it's in your hands, not in our hands, not in our pastor's hands, not in our wife, our husband, our priest, the Pope, our favorite evangelist, our church. Our life is in your hands. And all of these others are very dear and precious to us because you bring them to us to fortify us and to encourage us. But our life is in your hands. And right now, we're going to ask you to really show us some things, deep things from you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's wonderful to be together like this and our fellowship together. What a great, great privilege. And I'm so happy to see you this morning. God has an encouraging word for you today. And I'm going to ask you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. I want everybody, watch this now, because I'm telling you folks, you're about to hear something incredible. And you're going to say to me now, Pastor, what are you praying most of all for? And this is going to knock your socks off. Are you ready? I'm going to ask God to give every one of us the heart of a child right now. Isn't that a strange thing to say before I preach? Some of us, you know, some of you are getting really old, not some of us. I'm going to ask God to give every one of us listening today in Genesis through the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry right here in the sanctuary in downtown Spartanburg. I'm going to ask God to give you and me the heart of a child, tender, receptive, naive, open, loving, uninhibited, uncluttered. Now I'm going to tell you why. Because, my friends, we're about to read something that Jesus said. And Jesus is about to tell his audience and us that what God made known was not made to wise, long-living people who are know-alls about everything. He said this to people with the heart of a child. Now, I've been around the block a little bit, so I've got calluses and warts all over my life. I've got scars. You've got scars. When it comes to your faith, to your belief in God, you and I get to the point at which it's hard to separate out what the church said, what the Pope said, what Dr. Wilton said, what this person said, what the tradition of the church is, what my religion says. It's hard to do that. You know, have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, my mama did that, so I do that? Jesus was saying, Don, just for a minute, it's not about mama, what mama says, or where your dad came from, or how much your dad preached the word of God before he went to heaven. You need to listen right now, and I'm going to ask you to have the heart of a child. And Jesus was speaking to a group of people, so I'm going to read you this passage and very quickly try and explain it to you. Verse 25, Jesus said, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from those who are wise and full of understanding, and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such is your gracious will. This is what pleases you. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal it to him. So, all of those of you that are willing to listen to what Jesus says with the heart of a child, Jesus said, come to me. All those of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Watch this, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to speak to you about the only way to salvation. Just listen very carefully. When Jesus spoke, he was surrounded by a massive group of religious people, no different to you and me today. Now, I know the word out on the street is that America is godless. Yes, we are. They were too. But I'm also going to tell you that there are millions of people in America who are very serious about their religion. In Jesus' time, the people, he lived in a godless world. But there were masses. In fact, the very fabric of the community in which Jesus found himself was a religious community. They were religious. They didn't know him. And so much can be said about those people in that context. They were searching for significance, just like you and me. They were obeying the law. You know how many people there are in America today who are very religious, and I can tell you one thing, they do their level best to obey the law of their religion. They were going to church. I wish we could project on the screen a picture of the temple. It was packed out. They did better probably than the average church in America. I mean, people went to the temple, they went to church. They were observing the Sabbath. Now, they did something far better than we did. On the Lord's Day, they were very strict in their religious observance of the Sabbath and the holiness of the Sabbath. We're not. Sunday's just become another day. But there are millions of people in America, of which you are among that number, that you're very serious about the Sabbath. Not Sunday. That's why you are in church. That's why you devote this time. In Jesus' day, they were serious about cleansing their bodies. They went through rituals. They were ritualistic. There are millions of religious, ritualistic people in our world. In other words, we attach rituals and we hold rituals up as the mark of our relationship with Jesus. You know, because I go through this ritual. That's why I'm very careful, folks, around Easter and Lent and Christmas and all of these things as your pastor. I'm very careful about writing a ritualistic approach into what we do. Jesus had something to say about this. They were serious about offering sacrifices. Oh, wait a minute. In Jesus' day, man, they brought the whole farm. And these were poor people, by the way. Their average income was nothing. Listen, the poorest of poor people found the right sacrifice because the law said they needed to do it. They did it. They were serious about their offerings. If there's anything you can say about the religious Jews, they were very good at tithing. Tenth of their income, the temple tax, and bringing sacrifices and doing it on certain days and getting up and not doing this and when you do that and when you can speak and who can speak and how can you stand and all the laws and the regulations. These people understood all of these things. Jesus was speaking to them. And as a result of this, what Jesus saw was a group of people who were laboring. They were laboring. They were working. They were laboring. They were beating themselves to death, trying to have a relationship with God. And they were becoming weary in it. I mean, it was just wearing them down. It was just like this massive ritualistic do and don't. It was a legalism bar none. These people, they had to toe the line and do this and be in church and wake up this and go on this fast and don't eat that and never speak to this, and women weren't allowed to do this and you couldn't do that, and children needed to do, and everything was all thee, thous and don'ts and who and what and everything like that. Jesus looked at them and he said, you know what? I thank my Father in heaven that he has shown the way. And what he does is he's going to do it in such a way that it's actually easy. It's light. Not easy in terms of, well, let's just fall off a log. What he was saying is, I'm about to show you something, that your relationship with me is not governed by your religious fervor and by the things you do and you don't do and the manner in which you serve and how often you do this and get in that and do that. He said, I want you to know something. You got to come to me because you're laboring. You're heavy laden. That word heavy laden mean that your religious fervor is producing a religious attitude. Your heavy labor means that your whole disposition, you're becoming a religious grump. Have you ever wondered why there's so much religious warfare going on? Because all the religions of the world are laboring and are heavy labor. They're all holding up the do's and don'ts of their false religion and their false gods and their false sacrifices and their false prophets. And they're all looking at everybody and anything and anyone except the one who said, come to me. Now, what's hard about that? Why don't you get it? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you come to me, I'm just going to set you free. Not only going to forgive you completely, I'm going to remove all this burden and heavy load off you. You're going to serve because you want to, not because you have to. You're going to love me because you really love me. You're not going to do what you do because you think you're doing it because your mama did it or because the church said do it.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more in just a minute. But, oh, is the pastor stepping on my toes? Perhaps yours as well. We need to dig deeper in understanding our level of service can be greater than it ever has been before. And the more we pour into the service of the Lord, the more he blesses us. As we study the Word together, know that we're available for you. Maybe there's something God stirred in your heart. You have a question, or maybe more importantly, something you just want us to pray about. We're here at 866-899-WORD and would love to pray. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. We're here for you. Now back to today's study with Dr. Don Wilton.
How many times in America do we not hear people say, well, my church says... So what Jesus was doing here in context, we've got to understand this, folks. There are two things here. I want you to listen carefully. There are two things you've got to see here. There's the context of which Jesus said, come to me, and then there's the application of that. The context of it was speaking to people who needed to give their lives to Christ, to turn to Him. The application of that is once having turned to Him, never forget that all your weariness and all your burdens will only and always be lifted only by Him. Are you listening? There's a context and there's an application. Context. What was Jesus talking about here? Let's not just swoop over the context and say, well, everybody who's having a rough time, come to Jesus. He was beginning where we need to begin. And that is, you've got to give your heart to Jesus first. That's what he was saying. The only way to salvation, number one, is to know that God has revealed it. That's what he says in verse 25. Only way to salvation, to come to him, is to know that God has revealed it. He's not talking about revealing it here to a little secret that the high priest has, a corner on the market owned by one or two people who are religious zealots. No, he's saying, listen, the Father has revealed it. Only way to salvation is to know that God is pleased to do it. Now, I love that part. He tells us right there in verse 26. He says, yes, Father, for such is your gracious will. That word in the text, that word gracious will, is a word that directly means that this pleases the heart of God. So watch this. Just get this now, guys. What Jesus is saying is this is what Jesus wants to do. This is what makes God pleased. This is his way, because God so loved the world, he gave Jesus. That's his way. That's the will of the Father. That's his gracious will extended to us. Do you see that? Please don't just listen to me. He's saying this is not about pleasing the church or pleasing the Pope or pleasing the preacher or pleasing your pastor. This is about pleasing the heart of God. Come to me. That's God's way. The only way to salvation is to know that God made the decision. That verse there in verse 27 is so powerful. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses. What he is saying here is he is affirming the sovereignty of God over all the affairs of mankind, and that the task of making known the divine things of God was committed to Christ Jesus, the Son, by the Father. This is God's word, not the church, not your religion, not my religion, not my brand or your brand. Jesus was looking at these people. They all had their brand of their religiosity. And boy, were they becoming weary and heavy laden over it. Only way to salvation is to know that God is the initiator. He makes a statement there that's very important. He says, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. I want to make a statement. You can tweet this if you want to. You ready, all you tweeters? Here's a tweet for you. It's not a football tweet, so some of you may not want to do it. Just tweet this. Or go to me, go to @Don_Wilton and tweet. Tweet me, then you don't have to take the blame. You ready for this? God's divine election is not incompatible with God's divine invitation. I'll run that by again, because some of you can't type that quickly. On your raspberry and your fruitcake that you're writing on. Whatever it is. God's divine election. God is the initiator of salvation. Only His Holy Spirit can save you. is not incompatible with God's divine invitation because of what he tells us. Yes, God is the initiator, but the only way to salvation is to know that God invites us all. Come to me, all you that labor. Who's that? All who labor, all who are searching after me. Precious friends, are you searching? Come to Jesus. What do we need to do to come to him? Number one, confess. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's what he's talking about. Number two, believe. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You see, when you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you see God as he is in the light of who you are, which means you will have no hesitation in recognizing your own sin and righteousness before a holy and a righteous God. Confess your sin before him. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's what Jesus was saying, come to me. What is this? All those people in Jesus' day and age, they wouldn't accept that he was the Messiah. They wouldn't say it. No, they said, forget it. Crucify him. Get rid of him. We don't want him. Half of America today is going ballistic. Ballistic. Because there's a massive swing back to our Judeo-Christian ethic going on in this country. They're going ballistic. Crucify him. Get rid of him. Stop this. We don't want to follow anything that even roundly looks like it might come from God. We're Americans. Where does God come into this? Where does God come into my life? Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Hello, what was the rest of that verse? For your souls. I'll give you rest for your souls, not for your liver warts, whatever they might be. I'll give you rest for your souls. He was speaking about eternal things. That's the beginning part. He was starting where you and I need to begin. He was starting at the finish line, which begins in the heart of God who loved the world so much that he gave his only son to die for us. Confess, believe, and trust. In that same passage in Romans chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, he says, for anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. All right, now watch this. You've got to get this. Get this. I've got to put this in here. You've got to understand this. What was Jesus doing here when he said, come to me? I think we've got it. And I believe that there are scores of people right now, you need to come to Jesus. You need to lay aside your religion. Lay aside the battle that you've had, this searching after. You found him. He said, here I am. It's over. You don't have to wear yourself out anymore. I want you to go to bed with peace in your heart. That you can know me and you can go to heaven to be with me. Now, having done that, I'm a believer. And I'm encompassed by the world in which I live. I'm going to tell you something. That same truth applies to me in the application of what Jesus was saying. Because he never stops being the one to whom I must come. Now watch me, folks. How many of you today are laboring under a heavy heart? Family, friends, marriage, sin, circumstance, job, sickness, separation, depression, thoughts, dark things. So he's speaking to you as a believer. Jesus said, come to me. Take my yoke. I'm the one that'll carry it. Because I've always done that. Begins with your salvation. I pick up the yoke. Because I'm the carrier of that burden. I've paid the price. I've taken your burden of sin upon myself, and I haven't stopped. This is ongoing. It's an ongoing, present, continuous principle. It never changes. Come to me. Would you do that?
Could that be the most important thing you and I need to hear today? Is that Jesus is carrying that burden. He's carrying a burden that you and I are trying to carry, and we are insufficient. Our backs will break, yet God is ready to say, I am here for you. I pray that you have given your life to Jesus Christ, that you've committed your life to Him. I spent too much of my life knowing about Jesus, going to church and saying all the right things and doing all the right things, but not knowing Jesus personally. Would you take a moment? You've heard Dr. Wilton as preached today. Would you take a moment and hear him from his heart here in the studio?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
As the Lord has been speaking through Dr. Don Wilton, through the preaching and through what he just shared and prayed, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to let someone know. We'd love for it to be us, but maybe it's somebody in your family that's been praying for you for a long, long time. Let them know. Share this word. One of the remarkable things is that as we tell people about what we've done in Christ, it amplifies the opportunity for us to stay the course, to make that commitment stick. We also have some wonderful resources to help you in the next, to help you stay the course of following Jesus, to become more disciplined in your discipleship. A wonderful daily devotional and so many other resources Dr. Don has prepared just for you if you'll call and let us know you gave your life to Jesus or rededicated your life to Jesus. Our number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, the place you'll discover a number of resources from the pastor, including a picture of the end times.
The world is rapidly coming to an end. We are seeing the Bible being fulfilled almost every day. Be careful who you watch and listen to. The world is full of false prophets. Hold fast to the Word of God. Give your heart to Jesus now. Join Dr. Don Wilton as he reveals biblical truths about end times in his message, A Picture of End Times. Plus, you will receive See You at the Finish, written by Dr. Wilton. Both of these ministry resources will be sent to you for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word. You will be inspired and encouraged to finish the race set before you. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request A Picture of End Times plus See You at the Finish book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but we're still connecting online at tewonline.org and our phone number 866-899-WORD. I pray you've jotted it down or stored it in your cell. Let us be that contact, TEW. We'd love to encourage you at 866-899-9673 anytime, not just during the broadcast, but anytime, day or night. That routes you to one of us, happy to talk or listen or pray. We are here to encourage you.